Jane Potters. Welcome to episode 295 of Cosmod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
I'm Amber.
I'm Valerie. She's sick. She's not supposed to be here, but she's here anyway. I tried to be a calm mom, and it didn't work.
Val has been yelling at me because you all may notice behind me that there is no familiar backdrop that you usually see me behind or in front of, and I sound like I'm very stuffed up, which is true. I am, in fact, stuffed up.
Because she's sick.
Because I have... Yes, because I am showing COVID-like symptoms at the moment. However, this has been an absolutely horrible week for me. I acquired this while acquiring my new studio, along with some other terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things that happened to Amber this week. And so I honestly need the distraction. So I came to hang out with you guys, virtually at least, because there is no way I am unkind enough to come and hang out with you in person and infect anybody.
Thank you for not being patient zero.
Yes, so unfortunately, if you wanted to see me at Anime Fest, I will not be there. Even if I get well by that point and I'm out of isolation, I just don't feel right being there because I don't know how long I'm going to be contagious because I don't know what I have for sure. So it's better on the whole just to not go. Plus, I can satisfy Val's calm mon instincts and go sleep.
And it's not even
I'll
about
spend a week sleeping.
You don't even have to sleep. Just as long as you're resting. Just as long as you're chilling out and not pushing your body beyond its limits. Just relax.
That's the thing. For the last 3 days, I have literally been in my bed.
That's fine.
Almost 24 hours. I have been convalescing. And in fact, yesterday, I also spent all day. So 3.5 days I spent in bed. It was only today that I had to get out of bed. Because I didn't have a choice, unless I want to lose a lot of money.
Again,
so, yeah.
I'm failing at being a con mom. I'm sorry, guys. I tried. I really tried. I tried desperately. I texted many, many messages.
Yeah, she flooded my phone.
I even playfully yelled at her in Discord before we started the video.
But you'll notice that my brain and my wit are still working.
Yes.
And I would also like to note that because I am in a new studio... Now you understand why I haven't had cosplay progress in the last couple of months, because I have been preparing to have a new recording studio, which basically took up all of my time.
Yeah.
Yes. And so probably next episode where you all see me, one, I will be better. But two, I will probably still not have any cosplay progress yet because I will still be unpacking my things.
Yeah.
And I have to get my things out so that I can work on cosplay. And so... The episode after that, hopefully you will see progress by me.
You know, it's funny, whenever moving is involved, it feels like you're unpacking forever, because I've been in this place for 2 years now, and there's still a couple of boxes that I have in the closet that I have not unpacked or touched, and I'm like, it'll happen when it happens. It's fine.
I was shocked to find that there were boxes I had not opened one time in the entire time in my previous studio.
Is that scary?
Which was shocking because it was like, you know, not only do I have too much stuff because I had to put it all in boxes and pay somebody to move them and move them myself, which is how I got sick. But I also realized that if I had known that I had half of those things, I could have been using them all this time.
Right? And you're like, oh, I completely...
Like, oh, I bought one of those, but I didn't need to because I had one in store.
Yep. Oops. Oopsie whoopsie. You know,
I kept just, like, giving myself the old wrist slap, like, bad Amber, you need to open all your books.
Let's check everything first before we decide to go run out and make a purchase of more foam. But you can always use more foam, so it's fine.
But at least in good news... I had opened all of my fabric boxes in that time.
Nice.
So there wasn't leftover fabric that I was like, oh, I could have used this for a cosplay. No, I genuinely, like, inventoried all the fabric
Good.
I had. Pardon me. And most of it is just too small. The remnants are too small for me to really use for anything major. Great for accents. Great for maybe bias tape.
Sure.
But that's really it. And that's why I haven't used the majority of the fabric that you all kept seeing in these... massive boxes that were behind my camera. I just can't really find a way to use them yet. But I also feel bad throwing them out because have y'all seen the price of fabrics lately? It's expensive, yo.
Of course you don't want to throw them out. Of course you don't.
Not when it's really nice, expensive fabric remnants. We're talking like wedding satin remnants. That stuff was $30 a yard.
Mmm.
And that was giving
cheap
me the face.
Back then.
Yes. Yes, it was. That was on discount. I believe it was normally $50 or $55 a
that,
yard.
That I would believe that.
I think that was what it normally went for, and they had given it a discount because I bought it in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great for me, but now I feel obligated to hold on to it.
Oh, the pain. Yeah, I've got a couple of those fabrics that are still sitting here that I have not touched, but because I spent a lot of money acquiring them, I'm like, I don't want to get rid of them, but I have zero purpose for them anymore because I'm not going to make the costumes. So what do? Did they just kind of sit there and chill in the cabinet until I decide one day what to do with it?
Those actually came in handy when I had a roll of felt that I had intended to use for a Bleach cosplay.
Ooh.
That I never ended up making because I ended up making a different costume that was a lot more comfortable and a lot less showy. Because I am a somewhat modest person. And I didn't really want to make it in the first place, but that's what they had asked me to make. And then they changed their mind.
Of course.
Yay, group cosplays.
Yeah. That tends to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah. Thankfully, the one that I ended up making was a lot cheaper and a lot more comfortable.
Oh, good.
Except that it was Akon in the summer and it was a full kimono.
You know,
it wasn't yukata. It was kimono.
You know what? We do things for cosplay.
At least it was cotton.
It's fine.
Yes. So I ended up using that felt, which I haven't figured out what to do with yet. I thought about making like a Kirby hoodie or something.
Oh, there you go.
But I used it to cushion plates. I mean, it's there. It's cushy. It's soft. May as well. Otherwise, it's just going to get thrown in a box.
Yeah. I mean, if it'll help keep your, you know, tableware stuff.
Help keep them from breaking.
From breaking.
That's
why
all
not?
I care about.
Why not?
Yep. I actually used quite a bit of fabric, puffy fabric that I had for that.
I've done that.
The sheet batting is also really good for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not stuffing. Don't ever use stuffing because
work.
Stuffing allows it to shift around, but the sheet batting is great.
That's good stuff.
Yep. So unfortunately, the only update I have for you all is, hey, Amber has a new studio. So I'm going to pass it on over to Val to start talking.
Yeah. So I guess that's the first CosPod update. The second one is, just as a general FYI to everybody, our website is going down on Thursday, August 1st for maintenance. Because we need to do maintenance. No big deal. It's not going to affect our feed in any way, shape, or form. This is strictly just the front end of it. But if you're trying to access our website on Thursday, August 1st, and you're like, why can't I get to it? It's down for maintenance. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. if for some
now,
reason... Go ahead.
Outside of that maintenance period, if you ever notice anything wrong with the website or the feeds...
Tell us.
Because the system doesn't always alert us that something is wrong. We don't know until someone actually says something.
Yeah.
So please say something.
I do test the feed every single week, but there's some times where it's like something was great one week and then the next week it breaks because Apple. So you never know. But if for some reason the feed does go down next Thursday, please let me know. And I should already be on top of it, so it shouldn't be too big of a deal. But there you go.
Also, we love you, Apple. Please don't take vengeance out on us by making our feed go down.
I don't like you, Apple. So just don't take any vengeance out on us anyway, because I don't like you. I'm still salty that I had to resubmit our feed and we lost all of our ratings because of that. Ugh. Still salty. Google's not any better. Not that Google matters anymore, because Google Podcasts is gone.
Well, you know, we used to host it on our own website, RSS style, but that got so unwieldy that we had to go to another service to do it for us.
God.
So, you know, if you ever get angry enough at Google and Apple, we can always go back to ye olden days.
No. I will take Apple's nonsense over ye olden days.
Go watch our old episodes, like seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, to see what ye olden days were like.
You can still watch those on YouTube. You can't watch them on the feed, though. So if you try to do them through any podcasting platform, you won't be able to. But they are on the YouTubes. They are definitely on the YouTubes. Okay, anyway, cosplay updates. I've been sort of working on a thing. It's here in pieces. I have fabric together. Yee! This is Franziska von Karma from the Ace Attorney series. I was hoping to have her done by the end of the month. That is definitely not happening now because life things have gotten way in the way and my schedule's all completely out of whack. Lucky me. But it does mean I have more time to kind of refine this. For the most part, the shirt is kind of getting there. It'll be the first piece done. I decided as I was patterning the sucker that, you know, to save myself some headaches, why don't I make it like a 90s sweater vest? And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go watch the movie Clueless. I think it's a fantastic example. So it's basically the sweater vest, but instead of having the full button-down shirt underneath it, you just have the sleeves and the collar, and then you have the sweater vest.
Isn't Clueless getting a sequel?
What? I don't
know. Or is it Legally Blonde I'm thinking of?
I don't know anymore, to be honest, because... No, Legally Blonde already has a sequel.
Another one.
I don't know. I don't keep up with that stuff anymore because it has gone.
I was like, that would be such a timely cosplay if it was in your wheelhouse.
Right, and it's not. But I don't know, and I don't want to know because I don't follow that stuff anymore. But anyway, so I thought about doing it that way because it would be so much easier and it'd be less fabric to have to deal with. But then... I was like, no, I'm an insane person. I need to make sure this is a full proper business suit. So we're making sure that the white shirt underneath is a full proper button down shirt.
I was going to say, when I first saw it behind you in the backdrop, I was like, that looks a lot like a really nice 3-piece suit or the beginnings of one.
It's getting there. It's getting there. So yeah, you can kind of see it. Wow, there we go. We're making our way there. I do have to attach the lining and then get everything in place, get the buttons in, and then finish the cuffs, get the collar attached, and then we'll be done with that. Cool beads.
Yeah, as someone who has made one of those professional vests before with like the Revez collars and whatnot, those things are so hard. Even without sleeves, they're very difficult to make well.
Yes.
Because they're so tailored.
They're very tailored. And that was my big thing with this costume is that I wanted to be nice, crisp, clean. I wanted to be like, okay, I actually bought a professional business suit, even though it's a mini skirt, but that's fine. At least that's the plan.
I was going to say, as long as the skirt is of a certain length, it still qualifies actually as a professional suit.
It is a very nice pencil skirt. This is the part where I'm getting a little unsure about things because the fabric, I love the fabric. Love the fabric. However, it is not structured fabric. It is great for the pencil skirt because it has a stretch to it. So it'll work great on the lower half. I am tempting fate by trying to make it work on the upper half. So
this is why if you've ever worked with suiting, or actually if you've not worked with suiting, then you may not know that suiting doesn't have the greatest structure on its own.
Right.
And that's why they always tell you in the patterns, you have to add like 2 or 3 layers to it of interfacing and facing, and sometimes an additional inner layer to that to give it that shape so that it's stiff. But just suiting on its own,
No. And I don't really know, like for sure the shirt fabric is suiting fabric. I don't know about the vest and the skirt itself. It was some weird find that I found it on a website and I was like, I like the look and I like the texture of it and let me just buy it. It was on sale and it was already pretty inexpensive. Like, let me just buy it. And I have backup fabric just in case if this doesn't work out. It's not as nice as this, but it's proper suiting fabric. So I'm like, okay. And just once I got my hands on it, I was like, ooh, this is cool. I'm gonna make this work somehow. So I'm just going to be doing my best, getting the interfacing in. I've got lining with this sucker. I'm going to try. We're going to do our best with it and see what happens because I really don't want to give up on this fabric. I also have to get all of the piping done and it's ready to go. But good Lord, I'm also like freaking out like, oh God, because there's stretch to this. Oh God, there's stretch to this. So I'm just harder. Yes, I'm just preparing myself mentally for the amount of time it's going to take to slowly make my way through this. And I'm like, okay, we can do this.
Does that also impact how you wash it?
Yes.
Because if it's a certain type of fabric, then that stretch will come out in the wash and it'll actually stretch it for you.
work in progress. We're getting there. But now that I have time to kind of slow down and take my time with it, that's what I'm doing. But I mean, patterning this only took me a couple of hours, and that was with the button-down shirt because I made it a little bit differently too. And then cutting out all the fabric actually took me a lot longer than patterning this sucker because I was just being very meticulous and I was oversizing everything, knowing that the lining was going to fray.
I found that out the hard way the first time I made my Pura dress because I had made it out of a nice satin, but it was a no stretch. And I miscut. I measured correctly, but I drew the line in the wrong place.
Yes.
And so I cut in the wrong place because I didn't realize. They're like, measure twice. Well, I measured. I just drew the line in the wrong place. And then once I realized I had miscut, I didn't have enough fabric. And then you take the risk of dye lots.
Yes.
So you were actually very correct to do that.
It's very slow and very meticulous and took me way too much time, but that's fine. I'm a fast sewer anyway, which is why I was able to get this done. I think all of these pieces I managed to get done in like 4 hours. And that's with the lining all done too. It's just nothing's attached to each other. So not bad. Sergers are great for the win. So yeah, this is what we got. It's a work in progress. The only thing I will say, I'm not really happy with the puffiness of the sleeves, but I think when it's on me, it looks a lot better. When it's on the dress form, it's kind of falling a little bit flat, but also I don't have the shoulder pads attached to the dress form right now, just for ease of taking things on and off. So I think that's also kind of affecting it. So we'll see. I might do a little bit of extra tweaking on the shoulders just so they can get a little bit more floof. So I'm not having to do this the whole time when I'm wearing it. But yeah, there we go. Progress updates. Hooray. I have a thing.
And it's a very professional looking thing.
Thank you. We'll see if it stays that way.
I'm always in favor of cosplays that you can also wear as casual. Well, I mean, that one wouldn't be casual.
No.
But in other words, clothing that you can wear out and about and not just as cosplay. Because then you really get your use out of it.
Would I actually do that with this? Heck no.
I totally would. The only reason I don't wear my Pura Nikos cosplay, which has a button-down suit jacket and it has a dress shirt, and it has a dress skirt. Problem is that the skirt is not long enough to be considered business professional.
Gotcha.
It goes just above the knee, and it needs to be just below the knee. And I can't extend it because I don't have any more of that plaid. So it's like, well, sorry.
Sorry. Just is what it is. All good.
That's okay.
All right. That's all for me. Do we want to hop into our wonderful interview?
Yes, let's go into our interview, which was amazingly entertaining. So buckle up, folks. I hope you have some time set aside to listen to this because you're not going to want to be multitasking
while
you listen to this. You're going to want to sit down and take a break and actually listen to it because not only is it entertaining, but I think you'll find some very nice nuggets of wisdom in there, too.
Savage, you hear that? You have nuggets of wisdom.
It's a colloquialism. What yes. do you want from me? Would you like me to say plates of wisdom?
Sure.
How about rocks of wisdom? Stones of wisdom?
Oh, my. I think that's worse.
That's not it's not a euphemism.
Oh, Tamlin's got a good one. Nuggies of wisdom.
But then that sounds like there's something edible.
Wisdom can be edible. Why not?
Without getting gross, you don't want to consume the wisdom and have it depart one's body. You want to retain the wisdom.
Okay.
Anyway,
it's time for our interview. Yeah, Amber and I are thrilled to have had a chance to chat with a fellow podcaster, Savage Cosplay, who is the creator of the Cosplay Crunch podcast, who is currently in chat right now. Hi! We cover his cosplay journey, why on earth he started a podcast, that crazy individual, and then we stumble into social media. So we hope you enjoy this interview.
We we have an awesome guest for you today, a special interview that we hope you all will enjoy so, so much. So please welcome to our guest, if you would, introduce yourself to the Podders.
Hi, everyone of the wonderful CosPod program. My name is Savage Cosplay, the host of the Cosplay Crunch podcast. My friends call me Zach. You all can call me Zach too. I suppose we're friends now. I have been a cosplayer for over a decade now, which might pale in comparison to your host that you have on this program. However, I'm super excited to be here. It's really wild that I get to be a part of probably the most tenured podcast in existence, cosplay podcast in existence. Yep. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You should probably add to it that you're a multi-award winning cosplayer.
Oh, a cosplay star. I should recommend that too. Although not the cosplay star, because that challenge was a whole situation.
It was.
Yes, multi-award winning, multi-talented, glamorous, gorgeous, skinny legend, all of those things.
There you go. That's yeah. Better. All right. Well,
that's how we're going to introduce you in the show notes too.
Yes. There we go. I need to remember to write that down.
Yes.
All right. So what inspired you to get into cosplay?
Oh my gosh. Delusion. I don't know. Well, my first convention I went to ever was in 2013. It was Onicon in Galveston. Okay. And I was told that it was a Halloween dress-up event because it was the same weekend as Halloween. And I was like, oh, okay, let's show up. Let's go. Let's see. And then I get there. Well, okay, first of all, they said you have to wear a costume. And I was like, oh, what do you mean a costume? Oh, your favorite character. And I was like from a show, like a game? Oh yeah, like a character, because I'm like, Halloween, all right, ghost, vampire, werewolf, things like that. No, you don't do that. You do it as a character. So I was like, okay, well, let's see what can I put together, what can I buy? Oh, we're gonna do Fry from Futurama. That sounds great and easy. Yeah, so I showed up, I looked busted. It was a fabulous time. And I saw everyone else that looked much better than me. And I was like, oh my God, where did these costumes come from? Like, there was no like Taobao. There was Taobao, but like, there wasn't like, I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, Party City doesn't have this. So I learned that you can make your own costumes. I was like, what? So that really is what inspired me to start just seeing everyone at Onicon in Galveston, Texas in their full on like glamour. And I was like, this is so fun. This is so cool. I want to be like them. I want to be like the girls. And then I went home and I researched and I just dove in and I went from there, and I have not stopped since I started making costumes every single year. I mean, the pandemic was a little, but
it was for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So clearly you're incredibly passionate about cosplay. If it has not been very obvious to the Podders who are able to watch it at this point, if you're only listening to the podcast, I promise you he is as animated on screen as he is to your lovely ears. And so I would ask you, what do you like most about cosplaying?
You know, I think there's two big elements. I think that one, it sounds corny, but I think it honestly is the people I've met. Mm. I think that almost all of my most... like my closest friendships and longest friendships have come from cosplay in one way or another at this point. I think that there's something special about sharing not only the hobby of creating, but also the general like fandom space with people. You can draw a lot of parallels, and also just having a common passion with other people. That's one thing that I think keeps me cosplaying, keeps me like motivated, and really I love about cosplay itself. But then the second thing I think is looking in the mirror after I'm all dressed up and being like, wow, I made that. Like, you all could never be like this level of Gorgina. Like, I mean, you could, but like, it'd be really hard. And it's just really cool to see like, wow, all this time I spent with my hands making this is crazy. Like, I don't know. There's something really fulfilling about knowing that you have a one of a kind, and sure, other people might have made the same costume or a similar costume, but no one has this, right? And it's art that you're putting on your body. And I don't know, there's just something so rewarding about seeing yourself completely transformed. Mm-hmm. That is really, really cool.
So would you say that cosplay has kind of influenced you outside of the hobby?
I think In a sense, yeah, I think it helped me find my sense of self and confidence. I mean, I was never a shy person, as you can probably gather. I was never necessarily one to be like a wallflower, but I will say that I started cosplaying pretty early. I think, oh my gosh, it was maybe like midway through high school. Mm-hmm. And I think that it just opened up myself to be a more creative, more free person, to be myself, I guess, more, and to bring myself in my full authentic self into different settings that I might not have before. So, like, I will say that before I started cosplaying, I don't know if I'd have the confidence, and like I said, delusion, to go up on a stage in front of thousands of people and grab a microphone and, like, you know, talk, or I don't know, like, travel across the country and go to do like a location photo shoot in like the woods or something. Like, I don't know. It just, it pushes you out of your comfort zone. And I think it's made me more willing to try new things in my normal life and more willing to have new experiences, I think, and to talk to more people. I think that when you realize that life is not that serious and we're all just wearing makeup and wigs, going up to talking to someone is so much easier. Yeah.
Especially when it's celebrities, when it's Comic-Con, like, I find that if I'm not in costume, I tend to be very shy. But when I'm in costume, it's like, okay, no one really knows who I am. I can actually have a conversation with the celebrity that I like for 5 seconds and I won't freak out about it.
Right. It's like not necessarily like a mask, but it is like a confidence booster in a sense. Cause it's like, and it's not like, I mean, for some people, I think it's like, I relate it to like drag. Like, some people, when they're in drag, they have like a whole persona and they don't even feel like they're in themselves. But, and I don't feel that way necessarily, but I do get your point, because I feel like when you're wearing something, art that you've made, and you're all done up, there is a part of self-confidence that you get just from having all of that in your presentation. I don't know, but I get that too.
I think we realize, like, I realized cosplay is a serious hobby. Yes, and people will put their literal blood, sweat, and tears into their costumes. Mm-hmm. But you kind of get a sense of just how unserious it is when you're riding public transit to your local convention and you get all of the, you know, John Q. public around you just kind of giving you that side eye when you're in the wig and the makeup and the full costume, and it's just like, yeah, man, what's up?
Oh girl. The walls came down for me the very okay, actually, let's wind it back. Second OniCon I went to. So it was I had gone, I looked a mess. I then went back home, I gathered myself, and the next year came back and looked slightly less a mess. But when I was there, there was some real good storms in Galveston that weekend. And if any of the listeners have ever been to OniCon, it's a convention center that butts up right against the ocean. Yeah. And there are double doors that open right out onto basically the ocean, the beach pretty much. There's like a street and then there's the beach. And the wind that came and went through the convention center and snatched wigs off of every little rat in that building. There were wigs flying down the hallway. And I have never seen like such a cyclone of like wig fiber. I was like, what's happening? When I saw all these people running around scalped bald, looking like Cynthia from the Rugrats, that's when I knew that I was like, this is not a serious. Like, I think that when you're cosplaying and you're crafting, you should take your craftsmanship seriously, and you should try your best, because I think that for a lot of us, we are very craftsmanship motivated, but also we are literally all just playing dress up. It's not that big of a deal, which is why whenever it's like all this drama and conflama happening, I just sit back and talk about it, because I'm like, this is crazy.
It's more fun just talking about it, because it's like, I don't want to get messed up into that, but it's just funny to talk about.
No, yeah.
So you've been doing this for a while, and you've probably learned a little bit with each costume that you've made as you go along and kind of finesse the process. So when you set out to make a costume nowadays, do you have any specific goals in mind that you take from project to project?
So I think one thing I will say is I do try to learn new things. I think that as a creative, trying new things and learning new skills is really important, and also just keeps your brain engaged. I think that from a perspective of being better and developing your craft further, it is important to continuously try and learn new skills. Not only does it help you meet new people, because if you're trying to learn something from, I don't know, like For example, like gold work and beading. I was not a sewing girly when I started at all. I only did like armor because I was like, I don't know how to sew. So I didn't start off with the foundation of sewing, which I guess has translated into not making such embellished costumes with like gold work and beading, for example. And I also like, I cosplay male characters like 99% of the time, and those sometimes just don't have it. Anyway, but I mean, that can kind of push you to direction to reach out to cosplayers in the community and learn from them. So I think that for one, I choose to try to learn new skills with new projects I take on. Case in point, like with Lucifer, who's like behind me, I've never made a corset before, ever in my life. That was a corset vest, which like I couldn't find like hardly any resources on. It's like not that different from a normal corset at the end of the day. It's basically corset principles applied to a larger scale because now you're going all the way up your body. Yeah. But I didn't know how to like, you know, I didn't know where to order spiral steel from. I didn't know how to like actually do boning channels. I did not know what coutille was. I didn't know all these things. So learning from friends I made through cosplay to do things like that was important. And like the hat too. I don't know millinery. I never ever made a hat before. So like making a hat with like my, I didn't know the whole thing was by hand. So like, anyway, I digress. Learning new skills. But I will say there is a comfort in not always pushing yourself to learn something new. There is something nice about taking breaks and doing really fun, easy projects that you know you can like knock out just for the sake of wearing them and having fun. They might not be pieces that you ever like, you know, go to compete in by any means, but like having some stuff you can kind of just make easy on yourself and just for the fun of like the joy of just dressing up in itself, not necessarily always pushing yourself to like develop skills. That's also important. So I think there's a combination of both, and I try to alternate between them.
I think we've learned the value as we get older of comfort in cosplay.
Yes.
It's very underrated.
So oh, God. I know. I used to be like, oh my gosh, we have to have like the shoes be perfect. Yes. And they have to like, and then like also like when I'm making something, I'm like, oh, it clearly has to be done this way. And I'm like, no, girl.
No, it really doesn't.
No, we're going to use some good old foam for this. We're going to put on some Skechers and we're going to be great. It's going to be fine.
All right. So I'm going to shift gears entirely on this. We're going to talk about Cosplay Crunch. How did this come about? Why podcasting?
Oh my God. I think it's honestly Delusion the Remix part two. Because, okay, here's the thing. I got into listening to podcasts during the pandemic when I was like driving or commuting or even sewing. Like a lot of times when I craft, I do have friends on Discord I talk to, but sometimes I don't. And also when I'm working, like when I'm doing my job in between like meetings, when I'm like just doing kind of like Excel and stuff like that, I'll listen to podcasts. So I listen to podcasts, and I know of the CosPod clearly because, again, staple, been around for since the dawn of time.
We've been around since the dinosaurs. It's fine. I have accepted this a long time ago.
No. And we live for it. We live for the meteor that didn't take you out.
Exactly.
But I also felt that, I don't know, being a homosexual myself, I was like, I really want that energy brought into a interview style talk show, but combined with cosplay. Because I was like, I feel like that could be really fun. I don't see that a lot. Mm-hmm. And certainly like you all incorporate an element of interviews like this, but it's not like the regular like program, right? And it definitely brings challenges, but also I was like, I really want to have new people on, not only from a perspective of one, connecting with friends I've made through cosplay, but don't see very often. Because we all know that you go to a convention, you see your friends like once or twice a year, and then you go back to your little like hole in the ground, and then you emerge for Groundhog Day later and you find them again, right? But like, and even at the convention, the interactions can be so fleeting. Like you might see them in like Artist Alley and then, oh, it was so good to see you, bye. And it's like no one's fault, it just happens. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have a reason to connect with friends again and get to know them better. And then also second to that, I just wanted to have something entertaining for everyone to listen to when they are sewing at home or they're like on a long drive to a con. And I wanted it to be really funny and like engaging and entertaining. And I wanted to just make it really lighthearted. And I think we've done a good job of that. I mean, we talk on some serious things sometimes, but for the most part, it's all just about, antics and experiences and hot topics and guest questions. And so, I don't know, it's a really fun project. I don't know how long I'll be doing it, but I've been really enjoying it so far, and I hope I keep doing it for a long time. And so, yeah, that's, I mean, kind of how it started was just I wanted to listen, not to myself. Oh my God, hearing me in my own head every day is enough. But I wanted, I don't know, I wanted an interview style like podcast to listen to, and I wanted it to be irreverent. I wanted it to be ridiculous, and I think that we're delivering on that one episode at a time. So.
I would agree with that because I have been listening to your podcast and I actually jumped into it with the WeepCon episode. And that's one of your more serious ones. But at the same time, your guests also had a bunch of little funny anecdotes that kind of still keep it lively and the conversation going. I've been enjoying the crap out of it. I have been having fun with your podcast.
I'm so happy to hear. Yeah, that WeepCon episode. Oh my God. And that wasn't even planned. So like I had started with a schedule, very professional, approaching this with like the highest level of organization. I had a schedule of all the guests and it's been consistently changing. Scheduling changes, pushing, pulling, all that.
That is totally normal and happens all the time.
Yeah. So when WeepCon happened, oh my God. So I thought they couldn't outdo themselves. And then they really doubled down. Went for the moon. And it was so wild. I was like, we have to put everything on stop. And here's the thing. Initially, I actually brought my microphone and stuff to WeepCon in person to try to like get live footage. I didn't have the right equipment to do that. And the audio was terrible. And it was honestly there was so much happening and so much chaos. I was like, I can't. We're not doing this right now. We're going to go home. We're going to recap this. And we're going to grab all the people, past, present, and future, that were impacted by this convention. Mm. All people I know, at least acquaintances with. And so that's kind of how that happened. But yeah, that was a five-person episode. That was a lot. It was kind of a lot, but it was really fun.
I think the Potters have seen over the years with our podcast that podcasting is not the easiest thing in the world to get up and going and to get that rhythm going and to kind of just really get into the feel of it. Mm-hmm. So for you getting started on your journey, what have been some of the unexpected challenges you found with podcasting?
Something I didn't anticipate as much as it is a reality is just the fact that my hobby outside of this is my work and my hobby is cosplay, mm-hmm. right? When you introduce podcasting into that, that's a whole nother thing, right? Yeah. It's a whole nother time commitment. It's a whole nother set of skills almost. It is fun, but it's exhausting. Like the emotional energy and mental energy to get questions prepared, to find guests, to schedule the time in the evening, to get all this set up, to then process it after and post it everywhere. It's a lot of work. So it's definitely a time commitment. Mm-hmm. I would say that's one challenge, is balancing getting my actual cosplays done, because I do have deadlines set for myself for things. But also like balancing running the podcast. But that's also why I'm making very intentional efforts to have seasons so I can have breaks in between. Very deliberate breaks where there's like, I mean, we might do like a pop-in episode here and there depending on what happens, but it's not gonna be like scheduled programming. So that's one challenge. The other challenge I think was, oh my God, just learning how to like host podcasts to like sites. That was a whole, oh my God. So like, it's a whole rabbit hole. And I was like, I don't know, like, how do you even get your episode on Spotify? And that's like a whole like, oh, well, you have to have a hosting platform. You have to do the RSS feed. You have to do blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God. And then like every platform displays like show notes and stuff differently. So you kind of just have to like format your stuff for the one you like the most and just hope it works on the other one.
Yep.
And also like the scheduling, like sometimes they don't all post at the same time, so like you don't really know when they're gonna go live. I found like Spotify is like pretty like it goes up like fairly soon after you mm-hmm. schedule it, but like it's like, yeah, it's a runs the gambit. So I don't know, I would say the technical background of learning how to build a website, how to host a podcast, all of that was definitely a challenge. And then the second piece is just finding the time in the week to dedicate to it, because it is fun. At the end of the day, this is a hobby. We're having fun doing it. We're not getting like paid. We're not being sponsored by like AdamandEve.com or anything to like do these shows. So yeah, those are probably the biggest challenges I think starting, but it's getting easier. It is getting easier. Every week, every episode I do, the balance is getting more, it's getting easier to balance, I'd say.
And that's definitely one of those that we've learned that over the years too, is that as you start doing it more and more, it does get easier and easier. Sometimes it does in other areas, sometimes not. I still find that editing can sometimes be a very time consuming process, but it just depends on scheduling and getting it all to fit in and hitting your deadline every time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Hosting is kind of something you learn through experience, I think, because you can always read on the internet where somebody is like, here are some tips on being a great podcast host.
Right.
But until you actually sit down and do it, it doesn't really hit home. And this is why we generally tell people not to listen to like our first 4 seasons or so, because it took us that long to get into the rhythm where we weren't reading off of like poster board notes in the background facing the camera. Like, that's literally how we started filming the podcast.
It was
we had an agenda on poster board. It was really bad.
We'll explain more of this when we are on the Cosplay Crunch.
Yeah, it took us that much time to really like have it sink in. So if anybody, you know, is considering doing this sort of thing, like, just do it.
Just do it.
Seriously, just do it. Just do it.
You can only prepare so much. You just kind of have to dive in and go with
I agree. And like, here's the thing. It's like, for me, the longest time, oh my gosh, I was like, I had conceptualized doing the Cosplay Crunch back in like, oh my God, last September is when I finally was like, I really want to do it. We're going to go for it. It was after San Japan, actually. Mm. And I was like, we're going to go for it. We're going to do it. And I was like, oh, well, there's so much ahead of me. I have to have a logo. I have to have a name. I have to have a website. I have to figure out how to host a podcast and actually have the podcast published. I have to like do all of this. And I'm like, this is so much work. And you just have to take it piece by piece, and you have to just launch it and just go. And it's not going to be perfect. Yes. But at least like you started and you can refine, and then you can shine later on. But with the hosting, like in terms of like the actual interviewing piece, I think that something that has helped me was I was always told I was a very dramatic storyteller. And so I think that that has helped me sometimes in building the narrative in the episode and kind of asking questions. Because like, my guests say whatever they want, and I will support everything they want to say. I'm usually not the one. I will ask a question. It's very Andy Cohen, like
it is,
Real Housewives
100%.
Of me. I will ask the questions that I think will get the types of answers that I'm wanting to hear. But yes. I'm never asking like, you know, leading questions. I'm just, you know, I'm just here. I'm just having a good time, and I hope that they have a good time too. So, yeah.
All right, I'm switching gears again. I'm doing a very bad job with segues, and I'm sorry, Amber. You're way better at it than I am.
It's fine. Drag me by my way like the wind did at the OniCon with the girlies in the hallway. I am
here.
Go
this way now.
Exactly.
Well, one topic we want to talk to you a little bit about is social media, and we're bringing it up because I have personally noticed that you have a very strong social media presence, and you seem to have a solid grasp on like the what's and the hows and the whens of posting. And we know that social media is kind of become like a big aspect of cosplay, whether you do it as supreme, I want to be con guest in the future, so I need to have the Instagrams and the TikToks, even those who are just like, ah, this is a hobby where I make a costume once a year, but they still feel like they need to have some social media presence. So it's probably safe to say that social media has changed a lot, especially like in the last 12 months. Do you think this has affected how cosplayers utilize the platforms?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I think to answer your question, yes. And also to like preface, I generally don't consider myself great at social media in the perspective of the spectrum of people that utilize it as a tool, I guess. I think that something that separates maybe my presence is that I have a very high engagement rate.
You
with
really
the,
do.
Follow me. So my actual following is not large in the spectrum of some of my friends that I have, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, right? But I do find that when I even see people that have like 100,000 followers plus, and I look at like how many people actually see and enjoy my content from who follows me, it's pretty high. And I think I'm lucky for that. I think that the people that appreciate cosplay craftsmanship, but also just appreciate someone that I consider myself like a very genuine person. And I don't just make content for the sake of making content. I think that that is something that social media has changed in the last 12 months, is the more you kind of vomit up, the more the algorithm will favor pushing you because you're actively spending more time on social media. Therefore, you're spending more time looking at ads in social media, and then you're just making more for them to use to keep other people on, right? And so I think that I've never been good at just mass producing content. You know, back in the I mean, we would go to conventions, right? Like maybe once every like 3 months if you were like active, maybe once a year if you weren't that active. Mm-hmm. And you would, you know, make your cosplay for that convention, you get your photos, and then you'd wait like a month or two, you'd post your photos, and you'd be so happy with them, and you might not have photos for like another month or so, right?
Right.
Now the children are like getting their costumes from Taobao, from Doki Doki, from Mimic Cosplay, and they're filming little TikToks in their rooms, and they're posting content like every day, every other hour. And they don't, it does not really matter. And maybe one out of 50 will go and get like viral. The algorithm will favor it and it'll spread for good or for bad, right?
Right.
When you get that spread, you might have engagement from people that aren't in the cosplay community. And those are going to be people that are going to be usually pretty vile. Mm. And sometimes supportive, sometimes, oh, this is so cool. A lot of times they're going to be pretty nasty. Especially if it's in that case where it's like a young cosplayer that's just making videos in their bedroom, right?
Right.
Again, nothing wrong with any of that, but that's just not me. And so when I post photos, I like to, I don't know. I mean, first of all, I still like posting photos. That's a big thing. I feel like photos in general are being pushed out in favor of short format reels and TikToks because I think there's definitely psychology, and it's proven behind just sucking people in and having them addicted to watching reels and short format videos. And so the attention span has gone, and just the inclination to look at photos has dropped. But even still, like to your point, I do find that when I post photos, the people that follow me and have been following my work and have been my friends for a long time, they really appreciate what I'm doing. So I don't know. I feel like, I think that, I still do try to actively push myself to adapt to the current social media environment. I still try to make reels every now and then if they are actually something I feel like is valuable. Like I have enough footage to do like a short little mini tutorial on how to make a corset vest. So like I want to put that out. But I mean, I just don't like making a ton of content. One, because I don't want to manage posting it. Mm-hmm. I don't like having to spend all day on my phone or every day on my phone, like posting content. I hate it. I'd rather be sewing or anything else. But I think it's a balance. I think that if you don't adapt with the current social media like trend, you're not going to have your reach. And then even the content you do, like making the photos you like posting, the stories you like sharing, they're not going to get seen. So you kind of have to feed the beast in a way and kind of go along with the wave, but you can kind of cater that in a way to where it's not super intense. Mm-hmm. I don't post reels every day. I'll post a reel like maybe like 3 times a month or something. I don't know. On the cosplay crunch page, I do actually try to post my episode announcements in the format of a reel a lot of the time, just because again, that's how they get seen. Mm-hmm. More often than a photo. So yeah, it just depends. And it's always a changing game. It's always flexing. That's why having websites so important. That's why we all have websites.
Yep.
Or both of our podcasts have websites, because those won't change. And sure, you might not have like the same amount of traffic that you could get from like an Instagram post going through your website, but it's something that you own and it's always going to be there. So
you mentioned engagement and reactions to videos, whether it's from cosplayers or non-cosplayers alike. Have you seen social media change attitudes toward cosplay and cosplayers over the last few years?
What's crazy is I remember, like, before TikTok for sure, I don't think most of the normies even knew what cosplay was. And now it can show up on your For You page when you're scrolling. And then, so, like, I think that a lot of, like, you know, at least if, you know, I would say most people know what cosplay is. I mean, even if they don't know the name cosplay, they'll still know like conceptually what that is. And then a lot of like the younger generations definitely know what it is now. And I think it's a lot of that is because of how a cosplay video can spread like wildfire, depending on what it is. So I think that, yeah. What was your question again? Oh my God, I literally lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
How social media has changed the perception of cosplay and cosplayers.
So I think that, I don't know, I think in a sense, it's more mainstream. I don't know if the mainstream still, I don't think if you asked anyone in the mainstream what cosplay was, they would tell you it's an art form, it's a self-expression, and it's a creative outlet. I don't think those are words that they would use. I think they would use, oh, it's like dressing up on Halloween, but in public or in videos. I don't think that they would recognize it as something that, I mean, and here's the thing. You can cosplay however you want. There's no wrong way to cosplay most of the time. Now, dressing up as a Nazi, let's not do that, right? That's not great. But I will say that, like, you know, if your whole Jush is buying cosplays from Amazon and wearing a wig and doing TikTok videos, that's completely valid and fine. I think that that's probably what most people in the mainstream perceive as cosplay. I don't think that most people recognize it as a way to express your art, just because I don't think they can grasp the amount of work it takes. Now, and here's the thing too. I will say that there are some cosplayers and content creators that make and document their cosplay progress, and rarely that can go viral outside of the cosplay sphere. In those cases, the people that see that might say, oh my God, I didn't know it took 300 hours to hand embroider or something like that, right? But most of the time, it's not that content that's going mainstream. It's the, I'm going to snap my fingers and turn into Willy Wonka, right? And yeah, it's like, and I'm going to run around. So it's like, and so from that, and again, nothing wrong with it. It just, that doesn't communicate, I guess, the part of the cosplay community and the hobby that I think a lot of us enjoy. So yeah, I think that that's part of it. I think that it has maybe changed the perception of cosplay in the sense that it's more well known, but I don't know that it's actually gotten a better, a clearer picture or message about what cosplay means to the community as a whole.
With that being said, do you think there are any benefits for cosplayers to utilize social media these days?
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God. I think that meeting new people is a huge part, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've met people on social media that I've never met in person, and we actually chat somewhat frequently even on Instagram DMs. Like I met a cosplayer from Michigan who had a Garrus cosplay like I did. And I was like, I don't know who you are, but like you look awesome. And I like followed him and commented like, hey, you're hot. Not like that, but like something to that effect. We're not getting like harassy on the DMs and Instagram. Now we message all the time and like when we talk frequently. So I think you can make friends. I think that's a huge part of it. Community building. Because I mentioned all the kind of the negatives of it going mainstream, but also within the cosplay community, there are so many people that genuinely care about each other and uplifting and making each other better and sharing advice and tips. And I think that's a huge benefit to be had. And also it is a way to build a portfolio, even if you don't, I mean, look, social media is not forever, and you don't own the things you post on any social media platform, but it is a nice way that I enjoy looking at my Instagram and saying, oh my gosh, like look at all my pretty photos. Like that's nice to have, I think. And at the end of the day, depending on what route you want to take with cosplay, I know for me, I definitely aspired to a point where I could be a cosplay guest or a cosplay judge one day. And I knew that you had to have a social media presence, at least in some capacity, in order to be found, yes, right? And look, again, I used to also think you had to have multiple tens of thousands of followers to even be considered to be a talent invited to a convention. And maybe in the past that was true. I don't think clearly it's not true anymore, because I am, and I'm like I'm a pea in the pond compared to like the spectrum of cosplay. So I think it's important to have a presence. I don't think it is necessary to like be stressed about your numbers on social media. It's easier said than done. People drive validation from numbers. But I think that once you separate your self-worth and your enjoyment in the hobby from a number on a social media platform, I think that is where you can really get a more healthy balance with how you interact with social media. So yeah, I try to post when I have something I want to share and I think is cool. And that's pretty much the only rules I live by. And then with the podcast, with the Cosplay Crunch, I try to post every time I have an episode. And then I guess more specifically, I've tried to make little social media clips because mm-hmm. I know other podcast episodes do like the little stacked 1-2 with a clip from their show that was pretty funny. And then they'll like, they'll post that. And so that sometimes is fun to do, to share little snapshots. Yeah, snapshots. So, yeah.
We can go with snapshots. Well, it's fine.
Anything. We make up our own language. I didn't know how to say skeleton on the podcast. If you go listen to one of the episodes, I thought it was pronounced Skellington.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I swear. And I literally was like, why is the software saying it's not pronounced Skellington? And I was like, what's happening? And they were like, girl, that's not how you say that word. And I'm like, I'm 27. I don't know how to speak. So
you learn new things every day. And I know something that Amber and I do is we'll sometimes do fun plays on Cause in front of stuff. So it's like Cause reviews, Cause stories. So yeah, we do that all the time. We just make up words.
You mentioned being a guest, and I know that that's something a lot of cosplayers aspire towards because being a guest is cool.
Cool.
So for those interested in building up their brand, their profile, their portfolio, and working towards being that guest at an uber awesome convention, do you have any tips for things like that?
Yeah. So here's kind of how I have it in my head, and I'd love your input as well on this, but I feel like there's two categories, right? Most conventions have cosplay guests of some caliber and of some capacity. Mm-hmm. Most conventions have a masquerade or a cosplay contest, and those conventions need judges, right? So at bare minimum, most conventions, fan conventions that happen, will have 3 minimum cosplay judges, which mm-hmm. means 3 minimum cosplay guests. Some conventions will have cosplay guests in addition to those judges that are not judging the contest. Those individuals may have other responsibilities in terms of panels or having a booth, but it varies, right? However, like I said, that's not always the case. That's more of a irregularity. I think most conventions have a specific budget and they have to focus their budget towards the judges because that's what they need to do. And then the judges will also do dual duty and have to do panels and things like that too.
Right.
So I think first and foremost, you have to think, okay, well, if most conventions are hiring judges and that's the job I need to fill, what do I need to do to get there? And I think you have to think, well, if you're going to be judging a contest with novice, intermediate, and master level costumers, you kind of have to be a master's level costumer to judge those competitors, right? It goes back to how can you judge anything if you've never done that yourself, if you never walked in their shoes, right? So I think that the best way to start if you want to be invited as a cosplay guest is really to take a walk in those shoes and compete in a cosplay contest. It can be scary at first. I think it takes time to build up confidence and to learn how to navigate competing in contests. I think most people that compete are very supportive of one another and are very willing and helpful. I think that the bad apples usually get kicked out pretty quickly and then thrown out to the pigsty, if you will. But no, I think that you have to compete if you want to get to a point in which you can effectively judge the people that are competing. So for me, it was a matter of starting to compete in competitions, slowly getting better over the years, entering into more and more contests and proving myself with winning awards. Now, again, you don't need to prove your self-worth with an award, right? You don't need to get a piece of paper or a trophy to validate yourself as a crafter or as a cosplayer. But if you want to build a resume that indicates that you are that you're eligible or you are like certified to judge a costume contest, it helps a lot. So that was, I mean, my first ones, I had a few awards that I had won and up to the master's level. And then, the first convention that I got reached out to, was San Japan, and because people that saw my work, that's the thing, they see my work on social media mm-hmm. in tandem with the awards that I had won, that I must have, I don't even know if I had a portfolio at that point. Like, I don't even know if I had like a media kit or a press sheet or anything that said what I had won, but I had won awards at that point. So I guess the coordinator knew I had won awards in Texas. They had seen my work and they were like, you'd be a great fit. So yeah, I think that I would recommend start entering to contests, improving your craft, and then eventually you can apply to conventions. And I would start small because, I mean, I think you're more likely to be invited to a small local convention as your first one than, you know, Anime Expo, for example.
Right.
So I would start small, but start building your portfolio of costumes and of awards that prove that you have the experience, knowledge, and expertise to judge people in those capacities. Because like I said, the chances are you could get invited as a cosplay guest with no competition experience at all. And that would be fine and well, but that's much less likely because there's not as many conventions that bring cosplayers like that. Mm-hmm. And it's much more likely for you to get brought in that capacity if you have a high social media following. And I'm talking like above 10,000 followers, because in that perspective, they're leveraging you as advertisement and reach for the con, because they are not necessarily leveraging you in the same way to judge based off of your craftsmanship ability. They're leveraging you to pull in attendees sometimes. Mm-hmm. And no, that's not always mutually exclusive. Like there might be a judge that has a huge reach. There might be a guest that is a crafter and a craftsman. They just aren't a judge for that con. It does vary, but I think in my head, those are the general like placements and the dynamics of how that works. So.
Fantastic answers. All right, so we're almost out of time. We're going to do our fun little grab bag questions, which is rapid fire, 1 to 2 minute answers. If you're ready to go, here we go.
I'll do my best.
This is my favorite question of all of them. What is your favorite material or tool to work with?
Oh my God. The first thing I just thought of in my head was heat gun, just in my head immediately, because I'm a big armor person.
And right there.
Yeah. And I like working with like foam, Warbla. I even like heating things. Like sometimes like you can heat up a PLA print, a 3D print and shape it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So yeah, I think heat gun just off the top of my head.
The heart from Amber.
I love this so much. All right. And then last question, but probably the hardest one. What would be your dream cosplay? Money is no object. Materials are no object.
You have all the time in the world.
You know, I feel like people talk about dream cosplays a lot, and it's always so difficult to answer because I feel like, well, if you're good enough, nothing's a dream. No, I'm kidding. that's the cosplay crunch answer. No, I feel like, honestly, okay, here's my answer. I think it's probably Prince Sidon from Breath of the Wild / Tears of the Kingdom of Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
The Shark Man.
Yeah.
Because executing that costume to the level which I would want seems extremely scary, because there are proportions happening with his head, with his eyes, where they're not human eye placement. So how do you know where to see out of? There's also the body proportions. There's also the fact that he's basically a naked shark man wearing like chains and like chiffon and jewelry. So it's like, I think the hardware pieces and the sewing pieces are not nearly as scary as the body itself. And that gets into like fursuit territory. And that gets into like, it's not even like you can add faux fur to like hide some of the shoddy craftsmanship, because it's all like a skin. So it's like, how do you make a shark skin? And it's just all of this. And then it's like, oh, well, you could use like a neoprene or a scuba or something like that. But it's like, how do you incorporate that into a head? It looks scary. It looks real scary. And I think the more you know about cosplay and crafting, the scarier it looks. Yes. Because you know what you want it to be, but you don't know how to get there because the skills required seem so out of reach. And like, ugh. So I think that's my answer.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us for this awesome interview. If yes. people want to hear more about Cosplay Crunch, where can they go to find you?
Oh my gosh. Well, uh-oh. I can get my little card.
Uh-oh.
You can go to cosplaycrunchpod@gmail.com if you want to email us guest questions or inquiries, or if you like have a guest suggestion. We're also at cosplaycrunch.com And we're on Instagram at Cosplay Crunch Podcast and on YouTube at the Cosplay Crunch Podcast. So all those places. And then for me, my handle is Zavage_cosplay. I think it might just be like Zavage Cosplay, one word on Twitter or X or whatever the whatever Elon wants to call it. But yeah, thank you so much for having me on the pod. Like, honestly, you don't even know. Like, this is wild. I feel like this can go right up there with like anything I've done, being on the CosPod. Like, again, the longest running cosplay podcast of existence. Like, that's crazy. So I never thought I'd be sitting here talking to you guys.
Just chatting.
That's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. And then and then obviously, I think like Amber mentioned earlier, we're doing an episode on the Cosplay Crunch that will probably be a little more unhinged. So if you want chaos in your evening or in your life, come on over and strap in, because we have a lot. So,
well, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate you. Everybody, please go tune in to the Cosplay Crunch. It's a fantastic and fun podcast.
Oh, thanks.
And we're back.
Yay.
Thank you once again to Zavage Cosplay for being so gracious as to sit down with us and have an interview.
It was a lot of fun. And again, I think I said this earlier, I think it's probably our longest one to date, if not pretty close to it. But it was a blast the whole way through. And even while I was editing, I was like, oh yeah, we really did talk about that. I forgot how much we talked about. And I was like, we covered a lot even in that time.
We ended up getting a warning to
twice.
Start closing it down.
Twice.
That's how long it went. But I mean, worth.
It's worth it, because when you have that type of rapport with somebody and you just want to keep talking and chatting and talking, it's just, it's hard to stop and it's hard to find that stopping point.
Plus, you don't generally want to stop if you're on a roll, because the segues just kind of build themselves, which is why you'll notice that we make a lot of segues instead of just stopping and doing a transform screen. It's a lot easier on the ears.
I did most of the segues. They are very terrible, and I apologize in advance. It should have been Amber, but...
I meant the verbal segue.
You do those way better than I do, and it's just because of the way that the questions were positioned. I ended up being the one doing the transitions, and...
Oh, in the interview.
Yeah,
I was speaking, like, generally speaking.
Ah, no. In the interview itself. No.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just generally speaking.
Amber's way better at it than I am.
My mind just does weird things. Val just obliges me and lets me run with it.
It works out great. That's why the dynamic has lasted 13 years.
Can you guys believe we've been podcasting that
long? No. Absolutely not. And I'm the person who has to update everything.
We've been that long in the hobby. Actually, technically, we've been longer at the hobby. Because we didn't podcast the same year we started cosplaying.
No, way later. Way later in life.
Well, I started cosplaying a lot earlier.
Yeah, you were much earlier than I am.
Yeah. I have many plans. Many, many plans.
Are we ready to wrap up?
Indeed.
All right.
So, of course, if you would like to join in the conversation and let us know what you thought of the interview, or, of course, if you have suggestions on anyone that you would like us to interview in the future, please feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those who are watching us, the information is located underneath Amber right over there. You can't miss it. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube at Cos Podcast, oh, Lord, and on Blue Sky as CosPod, or... just look at the show notes and all the information is there. Click the link tree. Make your life easier. Back to you, Amber.
Or, of course, you can email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
Thank you, everybody, who sent in emails lately and sharing your cosplay photos, especially the ones after our last interview with Mylia. Really, really fun. Really cool. I appreciate all of that, like, reuse and recycled costumes. Good stuff.
Yes, we really do appreciate the feedback, because that prompts us to bring on more and more interviews for you all as we find that you all enjoy them.
Yes.
So, of course, if you like the content, if you want different content, just let us know. But until then, please keep working on this cosplay. Stay safe, stay happy, until we can see your smiling, shining faces again at a convention that is not Anime Fest, local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you next time in episode 296. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.